Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I have been talking, if you missed our earlier program, about these disasters that are happening across the land, focusing on the most recent one of what reporters are saying is, you know, floods of biblical proportions that took place in Pensacola in less than 48 hours. Christian Garman with WERTV talks about we almost had, I believe it was four months, he said, I believe, of rain in just a less than 48 hours.
Yeah.
And it came down, and it just shows you how vulnerable we are as human beings. And imagine 40 days of rain gushing from the earth and coming down. It's interesting that Noah is one of the particular movies that are out.
Yeah. And really, I don't know too many people who actually expected that much rain in that amount of time.
Suddenly. This is the interesting thing. They didn't expect it when it was happening, and 1 hour later, they didn't expect it. And then 1 hour later, they didn't expect it. And when everybody went to bed, they didn't expect it. And 1 o'clock, they didn't expect it. And when their children woke them up and told them it's happening, they didn't expect it. And it's like, come on. we understand this, you know, we have to wake up. We are so set in our mindsets that we don't believe that God's in control.
Right.
And if we're in rebellion to God, look what we're doing now. Look what we're doing as a nation. I mean, we're got some, you know, hopefully get a chance to talk about the Supreme Court just 4-5, you know, voted that we actually can pray in Jesus' name. But think about it, it's four folks on the Supreme Court who said, no, you can't.
Right.
You know, and to call that a victory to me is like, who are these four folks and what have we allowed that we can't And it's like, you know, these disasters, we can't keep on killing children in the womb with 50 plus million children since 1973 and think that God's going to wink at this. I mean, we're going to have to say, stand up and say, just the thing about it is, you know, no matter what happens in the country called America, the United States of America, just the church has to get right. You know, we got to find our place again. There is no different Jesus. There is no different Bible. It's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ, whose ways are right. And he says, follow him. He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And it's like, this is the Jesus we have to follow. And so we're talking about, you know, these disasters. You missed the earlier program about times that test men's souls. This is so important because you need grace, because your soul is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. And we're going to be talking about in this program, potentially with future programs for sure, some of the prophetic visions that God has shown us and dreams that he's given us about these disasters. And there's more to come if we don't turn. But if we turn, understand, he'll stop it. I mean, look at Nineveh. And if you haven't yet, I want you just to go to the VFNT, go to VFNTV.com, go to the app, whatever you can do, and listen to the heart of Nehemiah, how to restore the church in America, because we just have to begin to bring restoration back, not to America, to the church in America. And then when the church is restored, when she's back at her place at the foot of the cross with Jesus as the Lord of her, then other things, everything's going to pan out. It's all going to make sense. No matter what happens, it will all pan out. We were talking about times of testament souls in regards to, you know, you think about these storms just recently happened in Pensacola and Escambia County with over 4 months worth of rain, according to Christian Garman, WERTV3 News, I believe. Down there, that he said that 4 months of rain fell in 48 hours. It was really less than 48 hours. And you can see all the pictures and all the things that we have available for on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. But listen to what Congressman Jeff Miller, he's the congressman of that particular district, U.S. congressman that came down and looked at how he described what happened. He's speaking of biblical portions. Watch this.
Well, first of all, I don't think the vast majority of the houses that were damaged were in flood zone areas. And the maps were just released, so you're not going to see the maps changed because of the event that took place. I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
You're thinking, I mean, look at this. This is the official congressman, the U.S. congressman coming in to be able to see how to bring aid. And he's saying this is not flood areas. We think about it, how many people would say, you know, the top of this mountain's never flooded before. No, I don't think this could ever happen. This is not a flood area. This is not a flood area. And that's what he was saying. He said, listen, you have to understand that this is not a flood type area. And he says that this is, and he started counting, not 25 years, not 30 years, 100 years. And it's like there's nothing on record presently that the congressman is saying that we can even measure this by. That's so important. And when you heard, you know, the shaking of, I don't know if it's called a shaking of what, whatever the prophetic word is, a storm, that it was prophesied about, and God spoke about this, and it's going to increase if we don't turn. And this is huge. These are zones that have not been flooded before, and it just didn't make sense. They don't have, which means they don't have flood insurance, and insurance means you can replace what you lost in the flood. And cars and houses and all these different things, because they just weren't thinking this will never flood before. But how many people in the days of Noah said you don't need flood insurance because it hadn't even rained?
Right.
I mean, Noah, you don't even know what you're talking for 125 years, right? 125 years, Noah said, this is what God is saying. You're crazy, man. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're talking about. Your family, your eight folks. Let me tell you something. You don't know what you're talking about. It's not going to rain. It's not going to flood. Well, it did, and that's exactly what God said. And what is he saying? He's saying, listen, it'll be the same in the days of Noah as it'll be when the Lord's coming. We have to wake up and realize there's going to be many people on this wide road that just not going to pay attention to what's being preached and what's being said and what's being talked about. But you can say, you know, that's their choice, but not my choice. I'm going to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to what's being said. Because I don't want, my soul is going to be tested, but it's going to be tested at the cross. And I'm going to trust God through all of this, even if I can't even explain it. So sudden disasters, you know, where do these come from and why do they come? And it makes you just go right to Proverbs chapter 1 when God's talking about his wisdom. And wisdom is, listen, I've been trying to explain to you how the world operates. I created it. I spoke it into existence, the bushes, the ground, the earth, the water, the stars in the sky, you know, and I created you from the dust of the earth. I breathed Zoe life into you. I pulled I pulled Eve from your rib and made you a helpmate. And you guys are walking and replenishing the earth and all those wonderful things. And I'll tell you what, let me give you some wisdom on how to operate while you're here in my creation. And it's like, she's shouting. Proverbs 1 starts talking about, I'm trying to shout at you. Don't you remember? I created all this. I made all this. This is me. And it's what he says in Proverbs chapter 1. You're thinking, this is what we're trying to answer. Why does sudden disaster come? And the truth is, it's never sudden. It's only sudden to those who weren't even listening to what Noah was preaching. It was sudden to them because they were in darkness and they refused to listen to the light. They didn't acknowledge it. It's only sudden. I mean, God reveals everything he's going to do to his prophets before he does it, to his people. So he doesn't just catch his people by surprise. As a matter of fact, the whole Bible is about prophecies and things being fulfilled and going to be fulfilled. So getting in the Word of God, you can find out, you know, what's going to happen. But she's crying out loud in the streets. God's wisdom is just going, listen, listen to me. And you look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. He says very specifically here, and I'm reading from him, he says, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square, on top of the walls, at the county commissioner meetings, in the public meetings. She cries out at the city gates. That's the city gates,
that's right.
That's the city gates. She makes her speech. I'm telling you.
Wow.
This is what happens. And it's not men or women. It's God touching that man or woman and said, listen, I'm compelling you. You're going to have to do this. Even if you have to eat crow, no, and nobody listens to you, you're going to have to do what I want you to do. And then he says, how long, this is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, how long will you, who are simple, love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? It's like, you're not even a disciple. You say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you separate a discipleship from actually being a follower of Jesus Christ, but Jesus says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciples. And this thing is like, how could you dissect the fact of like, I'm in rebellion to Jesus, but I acknowledge him as the Lord of my life? Simple man, simple ways, mockery of Jesus' sacrifice. So then he says, repent at my rebuke. And that's his goal, is to repent. And the enemy's just totally twisted discipline. They're not letting anybody discipline anybody, and they twist every form of discipline that you do. Because the enemy doesn't want anybody to understand that God disciplines those he loves. And so all of a sudden God is speaking and shaking the earth and teaching the earth righteousness, like Isaiah says, from shaking the earth. And the enemy comes in and says, well, that couldn't be God, and God wouldn't do that. And that's a mean parent to discipline you, make you, you know, have to stay in your room overnight because you didn't do such and such, or take your little PlayStation 17 from you, whatever. And he says, repent at my rebuke. He says, and this is what he says, if you repent, this is what we got to do right now. We can just say, okay, we got it. I'm at 9/11 on through. We got it, God. He says, In other words, repent means this. What you've been doing, stop doing what you've been doing. Find out what I tell you to do and do what I tell you to do. Those who follow my teachings are my disciples. If you love me, you will obey me. So you're getting into the word. You're becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's repentance. Repentance is not feeling sorry. When you feel sorry about what you did, you're just a sorry sinner. But when you repent, you're like, I feel bad about it. I feel very sorry for what I did, but now I don't want to do it anymore. So I'm going to turn to Jesus Christ and his word. And I'm going to say, dear Lord, teach me how to follow your ways. And I'm going to trust in his finished work on the cross, because his spirit then will empower me to begin to walk out what I couldn't do in my own strength. And this is what he says. He says, if you do repent at my rebuke, he says, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. You see, God loves you. We were created for a relationship with God from day one in the garden, sin, the fall of man, all that stuff. But every day, Adam would commune with God, and God would commune with Adam. God loves you. He wants to commune with you. It's not like some religious thing that some religious folks have told you and they're trying to get you to do something. God loves you and has a plan for your life, and he wants to share your life with you. And he wants you to share his life with you. He wants a relationship with you for eternity. I mean, not just for this life, but for the life to come. And so he's saying, listen, I'm rebuking you because I want you to turn. I don't want you to end up in a place separate from me and in the abyss of hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to come this way. Respond to my rebuke. I want to pour out my thoughts to you. I want to make my teachings known to you, my teachings, my wisdom, my way. And we get back from this break. I'm going to talk to you about what the next part is in verse 24, because it begins to talk about those who don't respond to what God is doing. Understanding these times and... You know, some people, you know, would say, well, I can't believe that you would say that. Well, I'm not saying it. I'm actually reading the word of God, what God says, and he's right, but he's loving, because the adversary's messed up our viewpoint of discipline. I mean, how many parents feel strapped because they can't discipline their children? They're like, they're locked down. It's like the government's telling me I can't discipline my child, but yet they're blaming my child's behavior on me. And I can't even go there. Hopefully there's a related link to this, because I just lost it one day. And I left it up so you can actually hear it. But I'm thinking, how crazy is that? They're telling you that you can't discipline your child, but they use a stun gun on your child. Because they, you know, it's metal cuffs and metal bars and
chains.
Hopefully that's available.
Yeah.
Forgive me if I lost it too much, but this can't go there. So understanding discipline. And so here it is, you know, wisdom's crying aloud in the streets, but verse 24, you know, in Proverbs 1, that's what I'm talking about. He says, listen, all I wanted to do was share my heart with you prior to that. He says, I just wanted to make my thoughts known to you, my teachings known to you. Why? Somebody says, well, he just wants to teach to me. No, he's the creator of everything. The teachings of God, he's actually telling us how things work, and he loves us, and he wants to rule and reign with us, by the way, in the future. But then he says, that's if you responded to his rebuke. And so there's a response. When you see an environment shaken, when you see your personal, if nobody else's environment shaken, but yours is shaken, if nobody else's home is shaken, but yours is shaken, if your marriage is shaken, if your family is shaken, if your actual physical home is shaken, or your nation is shaken, or your community is shaken, there is a response. We should go to God and say, God, are you speaking? What is there something in my life? Is there something you want me to do? And it could be the fact that everything's fine in your life, but he's wanting you to wake up and say, listen, break loose from the 95% of Christian Americans, supposedly, who won't win one person to me in their entire lifetime. Go tell people that I am alive, I love them, and I have a plan for their life. It's not the great suggestion, it's the great commission that he's called all of us to do. I let you have the home, I let you have the job, I let you have the car, and then you made it your God. I'll give it back to you, but make me your God. Acknowledge me. Be grateful for what I've given to you. I'll even deliver you from all those bondages and all those things that have taken you that I've turned you over to, because of what the choices that you made. I will bring you back out of that. I'll redeem you from that. And he says, but if you would have responded to my rebuke, then this is what I would have done. He says, but since you refuse to listen when I called you and you paid no attention when I stretched out my hand, since you disregarded all of my advice and did not accept my rebuke, which means this. You can actually refuse to listen to God, to God's servants who are talking to you. That's how God speaks. He speaks personally. He speaks through folks. You can pay no attention. Maybe your father's been talking to you and telling you, daughter, this is what you need to do. Son, this is what you need to do. And you're going like, you're just brushing it off. It's not going to be good. I'm telling you, it's not going to be good. And since you disregarded my advice and paid no attention to my rebuke, and understand this, you can read about this in Hebrews chapter 12 when you understand getting a viewpoint of hard times and things that we go through. He says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, he says, in your struggle against sin, in other words, when you're wanting to go the wrong way, but you don't, and you have that struggle going on, dear God, and you cry out to God, and God empowers you to walk away from that. He says, have you resisted to the point of shedding your blood? Can you imagine that being preached in America now? Shedding blood.
Yeah, right.
Shedding blood. That only happens at WHBR television studios. But Pat.
Joke.
That's some joke. It's just Pat. Yeah, no, Pat. He shed blood.
Yeah, Pat's blood.
Pat's blood.
Not WHBR. Right?
No, they didn't. Right, right. Yes. But it was in the car. Ian witnessed that.
Yep,
he witnessed that. It was everywhere. It was just a blood sacrifice out there in the parking lot.
Thank you, Pat.
We won't talk about Pat hitting his head on a F-150.
And the F-150 won.
Right, it won.
Yes, it did.
Back to Hebrews chapter 4. He says, in your struggle against sin, have you resisted to the point of shedding blood? And have you completely forgotten, this is what we've done, completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his sons? And that's what the enemy's trying to get us to forget, how God addresses us as a father, and us as sons and daughters. And it says sons. He says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. How many people who don't have a right viewpoint go like, oh, just all over, you know, I'm being disciplined, I must be bad. And the enemy is like, no, you did bad, but you're not bad. He died for you. He loves you, and he'll forgive you, but you're going to have to differentiate between behavior and who you are. He says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when I rebuke you, because the Lord disciplines the ones that he loves, and he chastises everyone that he accepts as sons. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. And this is what's difficult when you have doctrines preached to you that says you're always a child, even though you're running a crack house after saying a prayer and saying you made Jesus the Lord of your house, and you're actually running a brothel. There's so many people that would tell you and convince you that because you said a prayer somewhere, you're God's son or you're God's daughter, and therefore it's really hard for you to understand, you know, then why, you know, why would God treat me this way? Versus the fact that you've become a prodigal, you left the Father, you left him, you once walked with him, but you left him, and now hardships come in your way for the purpose of what? Of turning you back to him. But if you feel like you're always with him and you're always in his living room and he's okay with every idol, every god, and everything that you do, then it's hard for you to understand why would he. That's like masochistic. Then why is he gonna allow these hardships to come on me if my geographical presence is not any different? I'm always in his living room. You're not always in his living room if you're worshiping foreign gods.
That's right.
You have exited the presence of God at that point, but you can't turn back. He says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his own children. For what children do not discipline? What children are not disciplined by their fathers? And if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, he said, you're like illegitimate children, not true sons or daughters. So he's saying, That don't forget about the encouragement of understanding how things work. This is how things work. Discipline is not a punishment. It is a behavior modification where it brings us back. Somebody says, well, how come you are doing what you're doing? Because I've been disciplined. You know, I tried to do that and I'm like, but I understood it was because God was loving me. And it says, why would you even do this? It's like, I'm just going to do what he said,
that's
you know?
Right.
And in verse 24, he says, but since you refused to listen when I called, and you didn't pay any attention when I stretched out my hand, this is Proverbs 1:24 and 25, since you disregarded my advice and did not accept my rebuke. And that's quite often why we don't accept a rebuke, because we don't understand discipline. We don't understand what it's about. And this is what he says next. And this is what I'm talking about. He says, because you didn't even listen to me, you didn't think it was worthwhile to pay attention to me, you just disregarded me, and you misunderstood my rebuke and didn't accept my rebuke. In other words, I rebuked you, disciplined you, and you still continue to do what you were doing that brought that on. He says, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster when it strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. Understand, but you were mocking God when he was talking to you about your behavior. You were mocking God when Noah was telling you this is what's going on. How many times did you mock God? And why are you saying, well, I can't believe God would mock someone? It's like, weren't you mocking God? And he's saying, listen, weren't you laughing when that minister was saying, this is the wrong behavior, that's the wrong way for a marriage, you're going to change your family, you got to repent, you got to be discipled, you just laughed at it. And he says, I in turn will laugh at your disaster when it strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. And dear God, I know you're overwhelmed. I know so many people are overwhelmed right now. And it's like we can cry out to God who loves you. He loves us. And don't try to figure out some religious doctrinal paradigm. Understand God's in control and cry out to him. And he responds when we cry out to him. He says, then you will call to me. And if we stay in rebellion, then you'll call to me, but I won't even answer. Then you'll look for me, but you won't even find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's the reason why. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. See, I said all that to understand God just wants to walk with you. He wants to keep you safe. He wants to be your father. Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life and a savior, but you're going to have to turn to him, turn back to him. And I know for a fact there's people right now that are safe because they listened. They listened to what God said. And I just think even one particular person in mind, several, but they listened. They changed where they lived. They changed how they fellowshiped. They humbled themselves to move where they had to move. And guess what? When the storm hit where they were kept safe. They're fine today. Everything's totally fine. This same God wants to be the God of your life, the Lord of your life. Turn to him today. If you want to find out more, go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.